And Lord, I believe the best is yet to come. I ask you now, Father, just to help us tonight. God will give you glory. In Jesus' name and amen. In verse number, chapter number 1 and verse number 13, Peter said, "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." And in chapter number 3 and verse number 1, he said, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." So it's obvious to me that Peter's getting ready to leave off the scene. You know, Paul in 2 Timothy was leaving off the scene when he said, "I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith." He said, "Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but to all them also who love his appearing." I may have taught you this before, but in case I didn't, the second epistles all deal with apostasy. 2 Timothy, 2 Thessalonians, and 2 Peter as well. And even in some ways, 2 John also deals with apostasy. Apostasy is not ignorance. Apostasy is coming face to face with the truth and turning your back on that truth and going your own way. Amen. Doing your own thing. And if ever there was a generation that we're living right there, beloved, it's where we're living today. I mean, we've got people that are just blatantly telling lies. Amen. Israel didn't bomb a hospital. You know what I mean? It was the enemy that bombed a parking lot because they can't shoot a rocket straight. Amen. But yet people keep telling that lie and telling that lie and telling that lie, trying to whip up a support for the other side. The Bible said, "But there were false prophets also among you." What I'm wanting you to see here, in chapter number 1 on Sunday morning, we talked about it ought to stir us up when we consider our calling. How many is glad the Lord called you? Amen. I like what Brother Mays used to say, "Justice called, but mercy answered." Amen. I got saved by the grace of God because God in His love and mercy called me to Himself. I was just telling a man today as I witnessed to him how the devil told me that night they'd throw me out of the church. He said they'd laugh at me. And I said, God had already said it, but I experienced it that night. The devil's a liar and the father of the lie. I said, there wasn't nobody laughing. Everybody's crying. Everybody's rejoicing because a young man got saved by the grace of God. Sister Sherry was telling me a while ago about her daughter-in-law, how that there was a preacher preaching, and he just plowed real close to the corn, and she got saved, amen, by the grace of God. I like that, don't you? Amen. But here in the middle, in chapter in 2 Peter, in chapter number 3, the Bible, we're going to address that later, perhaps Sunday morning, where we're looking at the coming of the Lord. But in chapter, that ought to excite us, amen, when we call to remembrance that our calling, when we call to remembrance His coming. But tonight, where we are in chapter number 2, we're calling to remembrance the conflict. A lot of people think that, well, man, I just wish things would smooth out. But it ought to actually thrill us and excite us to know things aren't going to smooth out. They're going to, you know, some people think man is evolving. He's getting better and better. Well, you're not, you don't have your eyes open if you think that. I mean, we're waxing worse and worse. Amen. Listen, I'm not throwing any stones tonight, but it's not unusual when we go on visitation to find two or three couples, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and not married. Now listen, I'm not throwing any stones tonight, but I'm telling you, we got a Bible that teaches there's something called adultery. There's something called fornication. Amen. And the Bible said we need to avoid those things. Amen. And I'm not throwing any stones at people. But what I am saying is we're living in a generation. There was a time when that was frowned upon. There was a time when a young lady got pregnant out of wedlock. Man, that was frowned upon.
that I'm telling you, you tell me what is frowned upon today. Amen. I mean, we're living in a society where anything goes. You say, well, Pastor, how could you be excited about that? It's announcing, if we listen to the Scripture, that Jesus is coming. Amen. That we're getting to the end. We're getting close to the end of this thing. Every man's doing that which is right in his own eyes. Amen. Let me show you some things here tonight that God spoke to my heart about as I studied today. There's a conflict that's going on, and I think there's a conflict in the world. Surely you know that. I think there's a conflict even in our hearts. The Spirit is wrestling against the flesh, and the flesh against the Spirit. And here in these verses, we see that there's a conflict going on in the church. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean the local church. I'll tell you what, I will hope I get a good hearty amen right here. We get somebody in this pulpit that goes away from this Bible, they're going, not the Bible, say amen. And that includes myself. Amen. If I go away from the Word of God, I'm one need go, the Bible needs stay. Amen. But listen, in Christendom, in the church world, so to speak, where we live today, I want you to be thinking about these things. I mean, you've got people on the television day after day after day after day, sow a $100 seed. Y'all hear me? Y'all, now I want you to think about that in light of what I'm going to read to you here and teach you tonight in these verses. This shouldn't discourage us. It ought to encourage us. Amen. It ought to help us to understand tonight, honey, that we're nearing the shore. Amen. That our Lord and our Savior is soon coming again for His people. So every one of these second epistles deals with apostasy. Let me just give you this real quickly by way of introduction. Turn back to 2 Timothy chapter number 3 with me for just a moment. I'll show you what I mean. I think you probably already know this, but I want to give this to you tonight in case you don't. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now I want to remind you of something. We're 2,000 years after Calvary, 2,000 years plus. But I want to remind you that when Paul and others wrote of the last days, they thought they were living in the last days too. And they were. Are you listening? You say, "Oh, Pastor, that don't make any sense to me. It's been 2,000 years. Here's what will help you to make sense out of it. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. You can blink your eyes about twice, and that's how long Jesus has been gone back to heaven, and He's coming again. The Bible said, "In the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves." Look at this word. I'm going to talk about this a little bit later. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. You know, we're in the November to remember, a November of Thanksgiving. Amen. And the Bible said that many are unthankful and they're unholy, without natural affection. You think about that. Listen, I'm not going to get all stirred up about this tonight, but I got to stop and say something. Do you know why that it didn't go the way they wanted it to go in Virginia? One issue, abortion. One issue. They wrote it to death. They spent millions and millions and millions of dollars saying that governor is going to take your right to an abortion away. And what he wanted was 15 weeks. In other words, after 15 weeks, don't take that baby. Amen. Now listen to me. What they want is lay it out on the table and talk to mama about it. And if mama don't want it, then kill it. Amen. And we're so stupid on the conservative side that we can't explain the difference. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight, beloved, the Bible said without natural affection, when a mama wants to harm her baby, that's not natural. When a man wants to hook up with a man, that's not natural. When a woman wants to hook up with a woman, that's not natural. The Bible said without natural affection. Beloved, it's natural for a man to look at a woman and say, "Whoop! I ain't never looked at no man and said, whoop! No, sir. Amen." And I'll be honest with you. When I got my heart right with God, I don't have a lot of trouble with it the way I used to. There's only one over there that gets a whoop. Y'all get that. Say amen after a while. You better get that singular vision. Amen. Or she'll slap you cross-eyed. Amen. If God don't do it first. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Now watch this. This fits perfect with what we're going into in Peter tonight. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. A lot of so-called, quote-unquote, churches have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof. You say, Pastor, you can't make a statement like that. I done did. You go to taking the blood out of the Bible, go to taking the blood out of the songbook, go to taking the blood out of the preaching, to go to taking the new birth out of the preaching. I'm telling you, beloved, what you've done is denied the power thereof. Amen. When you go to tickling ears instead of preaching the Word of God, you're denying the power thereof. And I'm telling you, beloved, that's right where a lot of quote-unquote churches are today. Amen. For a while they was arguing over whether a woman ought to be in the pulpit. Now they're arguing over whether a sodomite ought to be in the pulpit. I'm telling you tonight, beloved, there ain't no argument to be made. God done settled both them issues in His Word. Amen. And the Bible's talking about apostasy. There's the truth. I don't like that truth. So they turn from it and they go their own way. Now look at 2 Thessalonians just a moment. I'm just giving you an example of how that these second epistles deal with apostasy. In 2 Thessalonians, you probably know this scripture, but watch this. In verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind. This goes perfect with what God's trying to say to us tonight. When we remember, beloved, not only our calling, but remember the conflict is supposed to be there. It's supposed to be there. God said it would be there. Amen? He said that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Amen? Oh, Paul's got it right, ain't he? Amen? He said, don't let this get you down. Just remember you're going up. Amen. Keep your eyes, as our brother said a while ago, on the Lord Jesus. Amen. And be excited about the things of God. And don't let this mess that's going on around us drag us down. The Bible said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Honey, we're there. Amen. And that the man of sin be revealed, at the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This will take place, beloved, in the tribulation hour. We're living on the threshold. Remember you not? When I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Paul was saying that in the first century. Only he who now letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. I believe that's speaking of the blessed Holy Ghost of the living God. Amen. And we're going home, and the Holy Ghost is going with us. Amen. Going to let them have it. They want it, and God's going to let them have it. Now in 2 Peter chapter number 2. Tonight, God doesn't want us to be discouraged. He wants us to be encouraged. You look around, the Bible said there were false prophets also among the people. Now watch this. I want you to see this. Even as there also shall be false teachers among you. Does anybody know where the Bible said that the devil plants the tares? Anybody know? Among the wheat. Who said that? That's right, Brother Gary. Not in the bar room. Amen. Not down at the bingo hall. Amen. Not down at the backer joint. Amen. But he plants the tares among the wheat. The Bible said false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. I've said this for years, and here's a text that backs it up. I believe there are degrees of punishment in hell. People are going to be judged according to their work. That's what the Word of God said. Amen. I don't want the best hell has to offer, and I'm not going to experience hell. I've been saved by the grace of God. But I tell you what I believe. I believe hell will be hotter for men that have stood behind desks like this and led people astray, men who have been covetous, men who just wanted another airplane or another Lamborghini or another airport. Amen. Some of them got airports, amen, where they can land their jet and all that. I believe hell will be hotter. Are you listening to me? When people say things like this, well, we just don't preach against sin. Down there where, no, they don't preach against sin because they're covetous. They want some more gold. They want some more of the things of this world. Amen. And beloved, the Bible said here, they bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. I believe hell will be hotter for that crowd, amen, or for those that have taught people, if you'll let me put a wafer on your tongue, sprinkle a little water on your head, you'll go to heaven. And I'm talking about even those that said, if you'll sign this card, join this church, get dipped in this water hole, you'll go to heaven. I'm telling you what they're doing. They're denying the Lord that bought them. Beloved, it's the blood. It's being born again, or it's hell, amen. It's not these things that man has come up with. Amen. And we ought to be excited. It's going on. Yes, it is. And watch this now. You know what a lot of people do? They judge a ministry by the crowd. If there's a big crowd following them, you know what they say? Boy, that must be good. That must be right. Listen to what the Bible said. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. Beloved, you don't judge a ministry by the crowd. You judge a ministry by the book. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, there's a crowd down at the race. There's a crowd down at the ball game. And there's a crowd in a lot of places that are so-called churches. But listen, if they're not going by the Word of God, God said it's a pernicious way. And they're denying the Lord that bought them. The tares are among the wheat. Watch this now. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, and by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Wouldn't you like to know, I've actually heard a little bit of it, but wouldn't you like to know what people that are compromisers, people that are modernists, people that believe the wall ought to be black and there ought to be drums and it ought to be a rock concert on Sunday morning? Amen. Most of them churches don't have a service on Sunday night anyway. But wouldn't you like to know what they think about us? I don't really care. Amen. I'm not going to answer to them. I'm going to answer to the Lord. Amen. And God being my helper, the book of Jeremiah said, seek out the old path when you find it, walk therein. I'm telling you, God being my helper, I want to stay right there. Amen. And I appreciate the Lord tonight. And the Bible said here, well, I want you to see this now. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. I'm telling you, beloved, it's bad, bad news. False prophets, false teachers. Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, perils among false brethren. Beloved, I'm going to tell you tonight, the devil, he knows what he's doing. He's not interested, beloved, in those that are out there in the world. He wants to tear up the church of the living God. That's what he's trying to do in these days. In through covetousness, I read an illustration today. I thought I'd share it with you about covetousness. Recently, this fellow said, I laid a small circle of poison around a hill of stinging ants. Thinking the tiny granules of poison were food, the ants began to pick them up and carry them throughout the colony. I returned later to see how well the poison was working. Hundreds of the stinging ants were carrying the poison down into their hill. Then I noticed a hole in the circle of the poison. Some of the poison was moving the opposite way, away from the hill. Some smaller, non-stinging ants had found this quote-unquote food and were stealing it from their ant neighbors. thinking that they were getting the other ant's treasures. They unwittingly poisoned themselves. When we see someone with more than we have, we must beware the hunger to beg, borrow, or steal our way into what is theirs will poison us spiritually. I believe tonight you ought to stop and ask yourself the question. If your neighbor builds another garage, do you want one too? If your neighbor drives a new car in, do you have to have one too? Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, I thank God I've had a lot of trouble in my life, but that's one I ain't never had. Amen. I can be happy for people. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, you say, Pastor, why can you be happy for people? Because I realize, beloved, with most of that stuff, there's a payment book about that thick. Amen. I'd rather just have that old and without the payment book. Say amen. And just go on and serve the Lord. Amen. And not be in bondage to the money over covetousness, the counterfeits. That's what the Bible's talking about here in false prophets. False teachers and false brethren. There's a lot of counterfeits in the world. Years ago, I was in a meeting in Glade Spring, Virginia, the same church I was saved in. And a fellow come in and held revival. And man, I had a lot of zeal. I'd been saved by the grace of God. And I wanted to study the Muslims. And I wanted to study the Hindus. And man, I wanted to know what everybody believed. And I was just getting started down that road. I mean, I was cranked up wide open. At that time, I could remember some things and memorize some things. And man, I wanted to just get my defenses against all of it. This man come through, and he used to be a banker. And this man was preaching. And he said, somebody asked us, said, how do y'all keep up with all that counterfeit money? He said, we don't. He said, down there at the bank, he said, all we ever study is real money. And he said, when a counterfeit comes along, it sticks out like a sore thumb. You know what I believe God's people ought to do? Get their nose right here in this book. How many's with me tonight? You hear a verse read out of another version, and it sounds like Greek. Amen. Because we know the truth of the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Study the real money. Amen. This Chinese boy, he wanted to learn about jade. Now, that's not your sister-in-law, brother. This is that stone, jade. And he went to study with a talented old teacher. And this gentleman, he put a piece of the precious stone into his hand, told him to hold it tight. Then he began to talk of philosophy, men, women, the sun, and almost everything under it. After an hour, he took back the stone and sent the boy home. The procedure was repeated for several weeks. The boy became frustrated. When will he talk about jade? He was too polite, however, to question the wisdom of this teacher. Then one day when the old man put a stone into his hands, the boy cried out instinctively, that's not jade. Y'all get that after a while. He had felt long enough what the real was. Till he understood, beloved, that that was not what he had been holding all those weeks before. Amen. I'm not interested in holding anything else. This right here will get the job done. Amen. I like that song. It was good enough for my mother and good enough for my father. And beloved, I'm not just a traditionalist, but I believe if you're right, you'll just stay in the right path. Amen. Stay with the right book. Stay in the right songs, amen, songs that honor and magnify the Lord. Let's go on here. Look what's going to happen. We're talking about the conflict now. That shouldn't discourage us. It ought to encourage us. The king's coming. And then the Bible said in verse number 4, for if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness, to be reserved on the judgment. One thing we need to remember tonight. Listen, when somebody's doing the right thing, God's going to honor that. But when somebody's not doing the right thing, it ain't your position or mine, either one, to straighten it out. What we need to realize, beloved, there's coming a day when they're going to stand before the God of heaven. Amen. I learned some things as I studied this this time. Though mankind is beneath the angels in dignity, You can read about that in Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse 6. It talks about us being a little lower than the angels. Amen. It is the job of angels to serve mankind. I never had thought about it that way. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 14, just a moment. Hebrews chapter number, chapter number 1 and verse number 14. I'll show you what I mean. The job of angels to serve mankind. The Bible said, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Did you know that the Bible talked about here in the book of Peter, angels that fail, the angels that sinned, that cast them down to hell. It's as if Satan and his angels, they resented a plan that would command them to serve lesser beings. And beloved, I'm going to tell you something tonight. Listen, if you don't want to be a servant, why would you want to be a Christian? Amen. And these here, these angels, beloved, redeemed mankind will be lifted in honor to the status above all angelic beings. The Bible talks about that in 1 Corinthians 6 and 1 John chapter 3. And Satan and his angels resented a plan that would glorify these lower beings to places above them. And so not only did Satan fall, but there were others, beloved, that went with him, amen, and rebelled against the God of heaven. And the Bible said God spared not the angels that sinned. And the Bible said he's reserved them in chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. I didn't know this, but there's different words for hell in the Greek. And the word translated hell here is Tartarus. And it's talking about the lowest hell, the place of punishment for rebellious gods. Peter borrowed this word to speak of a place of punishment for the angels who sin. Now think about this tonight. Listen to what Spurgeon said, Charles Spurgeon. He said, angels have a high office and a high service of God, yet it is still possible for them to fall. We should take warning from this as well. We can understand that in some ways we can sin worse than the angels did. I want to say this. I don't know if I agree exactly with what Spurgeon is saying here when he said we, including himself in it, but it is possible for mankind to sin worse than what the angels did. And I'll give you what I mean. He said that the devil never yet rejected free grace and dying love. The devil never yet struggled against the Holy Spirit in his own conscience. And the devil never yet refused the mercy of God. Said these supreme pinnacles of wickedness are only reached by you who are hearers of the gospel and yet cast its precious message behind your back. That's a perfect illustration of apostasy. They hear the gospel and put it behind their back. Amen. Going to go on without Jesus. Going to go on without grace. Going to go on without mercy. Going to do my own thing. And beloved, they're going to be reserved in judgment just like the angels were. The Word of God said, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. You and I, Peter's saying tonight, we need to be stirred up by way of remembrance. You say, Pastor, what them people did over there to those Jews is wicked. It ought to stir us up. I mean, it is wicked. When you talk about burning a baby or decapitating a baby or shooting a baby or shooting anybody laying there in their bed, it's wicked. Amen? The problem, beloved, is not the gun in the hands. It's not the knife in the hands. The problem is the heart of mankind. Amen? Because you can kill somebody. As a matter of fact, there were some of those Palestinians that were talking to their mother and said, I've killed 10 with my bare hands. And they was proud of it. You say, Pastor, well, how can we get stirred up about that? Because God is telling us, honey, the cup of iniquity is just about full. And He's just about, beloved, to step out on a cloud and say, it's enough. Come up hither. Amen. I believe that with all of my heart. The Bible said the world of the ungodly. He's not going to judge it with water again, but the fire's coming. Amen. The earth's going to melt with fervent heat. turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. You know something? Even in our country, nowadays, it doesn't matter. Let me just say it like this. If a man or a woman was to stand up and say, homosexuality is wrong. If you use a Bible term, sodomy is wrong. Sodomy is displeasing to God. Let me tell you this. This might discourage you, but it shouldn't. It ought to encourage you. They do not have a Chinaman's chance of getting elected. Dog catcher. Let alone anything else. If they take a stand with the... Am I right or am I wrong? There was a time in America when it mattered when you were a moral man or not. It mattered whether you were against liquor or not. It mattered, beloved, amen, in a time when you were against drugs or not. It mattered whether you were for a marriage being a traditional marriage between a man and a woman. And all these issues just keep rolling over and going away and going away. It ain't no wonder if we end up with two like we've got right now at the top of the polls on both sides. Shall I say amen? I'm telling you, beloved, God is going to judge America. Why? Because we put our stamp of approval on what God said is an abomination. God's not going to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. He's not going to go back over and say, you know, youngins, I wish I hadn't turned y'all into ashes. He's not going to do that. He's not changed his mind about sin. And you and I ought to be encouraged because, listen, this cup of iniquity is just about full. God's just about had enough. We've spit in His face. We've spit on His book. We've spit on that flag. I'm talking about people in this country, amen, that ought to love this country. And listen, beloved, when you turn your back on God, that's what an apostate is. Not that they were ignorant. Nope, I saw it, but I don't like it. Now I'm going the other way. Then where are you going to go except down, 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 down? When Jonah, God said, I want you to go down to Nineveh, he said he found the ship. He paid the fare thereof, and he went down into the ship, and he went down to Joppa. When you're going away from God's way, remember this, you're always going down. Always. But listen, that shouldn't discourage us as God's people. We should be encouraged as we remember, amen, that all of this must first come to pass. We're living, I don't believe there's another thing that has to be fulfilled before Jesus. You know, I'm looking forward to meeting James on the outside. But I tell you what, I might just have to meet James on the other side. Amen. You say, Pastor, why do you say that? Because, beloved, I believe we're that close. I believe we're that close to the coming of the Lord. Let's not be discouraged. Let's be encouraged. Let's make sure we're doing what we do for the right reason. Because we love the Lord. Amen.